common Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome everyone this morning, members and visitors, to our worship service. I would invite your attention to the back of the bulletin for announcements. Tom Barrett has a minute for lay renewal.
Good morning. As I started thinking about this earlier in the week, I talked to Steve, and I made some notes, obviously. And one of the things that I said, is, I've been listening. And usually when I say that, unfortunately or fortunately, when I say that at home, it's right after I say that, there's several groans from the various family members, oh no, here we go again. I didn't notice the date, and I didn't write it down. But several Sundays ago, within the last month or two, Jackson Weller who said, and I think he was talking to the young disciples, he said, "What do you believe?" If somebody asks you that, what do you believe? And he said that, and there was a pause, and the kids were looking like, are we supposed to answer, and sometimes there's an answer, sometimes there isn't. And then the next question was, do you live out what you believe? Do you live out what you believe? The lay renewal is set from March 13th through the 15th. It's a time for this church to gather together. It's a time for us to worship together as a church family. Family is very important, and church family is right up there with your biological family. It's our church family, and it's a time for us to worship together. The slogan for this year's lay renewal is a new decade, a new vision, and a renewed faith. Mark it on your calendar. Mark it on your calendar. And by the way, this week in the mail you probably received a refrigerator magnet with the dates, and I think the slogan is on it, but the dates, March 13th through 15th. Mark it on your calendar. Check the refrigerator magnet out. And when I see the refrigerator magnet, it reminds me to pray for the lay renewal. We want this to be an experience of faith building in our church family. At some point, preferably soon, First Presbyterian will turn the page on a new chapter of ministry on this corner of Main Street. We'll have a new pastor. We don't worship the pastor, we worship Jesus Christ. But having a leader, having capable interims, has certainly been good for us, but we will have a new pastor, and then our church family will change. It will grow by one important person. This is a time, though, with lay renewal ministry, when we heard last week from Ed Butler. He talked to us on February 2nd about our faith. Ask yourself, and I believe this was a Steve quote, but I'm not sure. It sometimes gets confused when I write it down. Ask yourself, are you as close to Jesus as you want to be? Are you as close to Jesus as you want to be? Think about it, and then the next question, the typical teacher here, are you as close to him as he wants you to be? Are you as close as you want to be, and are you as close to him as he wants you to be? Very important questions. In conclusion, I think often about the movie Forrest Gump. I've deleted almost the entire movie except for one part. Towards the end of the movie, I don't know if you remember Captain Dan in the movie, but Captain Dan was there was a bad storm, and they were on a ship, and Captain Dan was yelling and screaming at God. Which is kind of scary to me anyway. He was yelling and screaming at God, and Forrest said, about that time, God showed up. About that time, God showed up. God's here right now. This is an important time in the life of our church, a very important time. It's important that you pray about it, that you pray for the pastor church committee, and that you pray for this lay renewal. Thank you very much.
Let us join together in the responsive call to worship. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. The Lord's steadfast love is established forever, and his faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Praise the Lord. Our hymn of praise is our insert. Pink insert, Christ for the world we sing. pray. Living God, your Spirit is always breathing life and always making fresh what has become stale. Your Spirit is a well springing up to abundance. But we confess that all too often we fail to rely upon your Spirit's leading. We get caught up in the daily routine and do not trust the divine meaning within it. We frantically rush to check off our to-do list and forget your presence inspiring us to faith, hope, and love. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times that we have wandered off the path. Help us to be salt and light to the world. Amen. Join with me in the assurance of pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us in Jesus Christ. Friends, leave the good news of the gospel. Amen. The children can come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Y'all can come a little closer. Michael and Benjamin, good morning. How are y'all this morning? Are you good? Did you have a good breakfast? Did you? Okay, good, because I know usually sometimes you're a little hungry in the morning. I know in Sunday school, but I brought something for us to munch on today while we're up here. Would you like that? I need your help with something, all right? I'm going to do a little taste test this morning, okay? So hang on, let me get something. So how does it taste? Can you describe what it tastes like, Ben?
It just tastes like a regular cracker.
With what?
With salt.
Oh, salt. Okay. So how does that taste? Does it taste pretty good when it's got salt on it? How about yours, Michaela? Does it taste wonderful? Okay. All right. Okay. Hang on to those. Packing peanuts. Okay, you gonna try that? No. That wouldn't taste very good, would it? Would it taste as good as that cracker? Would it taste as good as that cracker, Benjamin? No, I don't want you to eat that. Okay, let's try something else. Okay, try this one. Okay, wait a minute. Finish chewing what you just did a second ago. All right. All right, there's yours. Go ahead, try that one, Benjamin. Wait, see what Michaela does. You try now. Take another bite, Benjamin. Go ahead, you try it. How does that taste? Kind of like a pancake. How about yours? What does yours taste like? It does? Tastes good? Does it taste as salty as the first one? It's real good, okay. But does it taste as salty? No, that's right. That's a cracker without salt. So a saltine has what on it? A saltine has what on it?
Salt.
Salt, right. So what else does it taste like? When you eat something with salt on it, how would you describe it? Does it taste good, tasty, yummy, all the above?
All the above.
Makes it tasty. Right. Well, Pastor Steve is going to be reading something this morning from the book of Matthew. And Matthew is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament?
Old and New Testament.
One of the four Gospels. Remember after the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? He's going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. But I'm just going to read chapter 13. Okay? Verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So what do you think it means to be the salt of the earth? Jesus was talking to the disciples at this time. He'd been on the Sermon on the Mount talking about the Beatitudes. We studied about the Beatitudes in Sunday school, and then he told the disciples they were the salt of the earth. So what does he think that meant? What do you think, Benjamin? What do you think it means? Importance, okay. What do you think, Benjamin? What did he mean by telling the disciples they are the salt of the earth? What about love? Now, tell me this. With the salt on the saltines and the crackers, does it make it taste better? And to be the salt of the earth, maybe everything is better if we share Jesus with other people, right? Improve their lives by talking about Jesus and sharing the love of Jesus with them, right? Is everything better in our lives when we have Jesus in our life? Yeah, if we didn't, would be tasty, would it? Just like salt's not too tasty on that cracker, right? If it didn't have salt. So how can we make other people's lives better? What can we do? We can help them. What else? How can we share Jesus with them? What?
Donate
what?
Stuff they need.
Different things we could donate to help others. What else could we do? Give food to the homeless, right? Can we share a smile? Can we invite somebody to sit with us at lunch that they may not have somebody sitting with them? Could we give someone a hug? What do we do at this church to share the love of Jesus with people? Preach about God. What else? Do we do something on Saturday mornings here? The lunch ministry here and the angel tree, we share the love of Jesus. Lots of ways that you can share the love of Jesus with other people. Salt. Think about this. Think about how you can be salt. How you can help other people. Salt. Think about this. S-A-L-T. Share a little love today. Salt. S. Share. A. A little love today. All right? So how can you be salt? All right? So think about that. And let's have a prayer before we go back to Sunday school. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today on this lovely sunny day. Thank you for all that are here and for being with those that couldn't be here today. Help us to be the salt of the earth, to share with others your love, to make their lives better, to know you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hang on, I've got one little more thing for you. Since you all like salt so much, there you go to remind you, and there's a little salty treat on the back. What does that look like? Fritos, that's right. Let's see if you let your Sunday school teacher let you have those now. All right, thank you all.
Let us join in the prayer for illumination. Let the light of your Holy Spirit illumine your word to us this morning and shine light upon our lives. May the seed sown in the reading and hearing of the word bear fruit in your people. Amen. Our epistle lesson this morning is 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words of wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
The gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. This is early portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as he teaches his disciples. So let us listen for God's word. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A man was talking to God, and he was stretching his mind trying to grasp how vast and wonderful is the maker of heaven and earth. He said, "Lord, what is a million years to you?" And God replied, "Son, a million years is only a second to me." Then the man said, "What is $1 million to you?" And God replied, "Son, $1 million is just a penny to me." The man paused and asked, "God, would you give me $1 million? And God replied, "Sure, my son, just a second." You can think about that one for a while if you need to. The Apostle Paul described the difference between human wisdom and God's wisdom in the second chapter of his letter to the Christians at Corinth. He wrote, "We speak God's wisdom secret and hidden, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him." And then the gospel reading, after the epistle reading and the lectionary, follows right on the heels of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are that great upside-down wisdom, or right-side-up from the perspective of faith. It's that upside-down description of the kingdom. And then right on the heels of the Beatitudes is this teaching from the gospel this morning. Unfortunately for us, we find that Jesus in this passage is teaching in a rather straightforward manner, not with lofty words or high, unattainable language, as the epistle reading says. Jesus gives his disciples two images to describe who they are as his followers who live by the light of the kingdom. His disciples are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And in order to preach only one sermon to you this morning, I want to focus on just one of those images, and that is the salt of the earth. Salt shakers are a common, ordinary thing to find on the kitchen table. Even if you have to limit how much salt you take into your diet, salt nonetheless remains an essential ingredient for life. It's so easy to take for granted how important salt is today. Who takes the time to think about how much of our lives are shaped by salt? Wars between empires have been fought over salt in the past. Fortunately for us, we just reach across the table and pick up the salt shaker. Some of the oldest archaeological finds have been salt works, where human beings 6,000 years ago were extracting salt from the earth. The Roman Empire paid soldiers in salt and invented that saying that we use today, that a person is worth their salt. In fact, the word salary, the money that a person is paid for work, comes from the word salt. Through human history, people have used salt to add flavor to food, supplement grain diets, preserve meats and cheeses, since salt prevents bacteria from growing. Even as important as salt was for ancient civilizations, what they may not have realized that modern medicine has shown us is that salt is essential for life. Salt is required for our blood, sweat, digestive juices, and the transmission of signals along nerves. The American Medical Association did a study that showed that human societies with the lowest salt intakes also have the shortest lifespans. Yes, too much salt can be a problem for our health, but it's really because it's too much of a good thing. The importance, the vital everyday importance of salt was something that would have been known by Jesus' disciples. And this is why Jesus uses salt as a metaphor to describe who his disciples are. Jesus said his followers are salt of the earth. At the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. This was how Jesus chose to begin teaching his disciples on that mountain. They had just been invited to come and to follow Jesus as his disciples. The sermon comes shortly after their calls to follow him. So this sermon is a starting place for them in learning what it means to live the Christian life, to be a disciple of Jesus. And just after Jesus ends these blessings of the Beatitudes, Jesus describes his followers. So can you see the movement of his sermon? The Beatitudes announce God's grace and mercy, and then Jesus turns his gaze on his followers. He looks at them and says, "You are the salt of the earth." It's a humble image. Jesus does not call them conquerors of the world or kings of the earth. He takes something commonplace, something necessary and important, but not something lofty or powerful. The disciples will be the salt that adds flavor and spice to life. His use of salt to describe the Christian life goes right along with some of the other images that he uses to describe the ways of the kingdom and the ways of those who attend to the kingdom. They're like leaven in the loaf. They're like the mustard seed, the smallest of seeds that grows into a wonderful bush where the birds of the air come to rest. They're like treasure hidden in a country field. Those who will follow Jesus and live by the light of God's kingdom are, from a worldly perspective, small, hidden, unnoticed. But from a heavenly perspective, are vital and necessary and important. The life-giving and eternal purposes of God work in surprising ways among Jesus' disciples, and it's still true for us today. All Christians in the church bring unique gifts to offer the body of Christ. You share them with each other for the sake of everyone, to help all serve each other and serve neighbors. You bring flavor and spice and add the zest of your own personality to make the church a better lived experience for everyone else. This helps us as a church to be salt in this community so that the church can add flavor to the people, to its neighbors and the people around it. Yet salt works not only to add flavor, salt also works to preserve. Salt preserves and keeps the good things that we treasure. This is why Jesus, in right after this part of the sermon, talks about and says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill." Jesus was not overthrowing everything that came before him. Rather, he was fulfilling all the work that God had done generation after generation after generation with his covenant people. Jesus, therefore, preserved the covenant that God had made with his people, and in himself became the fulfillment of the purpose of all that God had done. What this means is that as the salt of the earth, we need to value what has come before us and appreciate the wisdom and the faithfulness of the communion of saints. This teaching of Jesus helps us as Christians to have deep appreciation for all those Christians who have come and gone before us. They labor to be salt and light before us and passed on to us the treasure of the kingdom. So we too add all of the flavor and zest of our own gifts, and we do so in order to preserve the treasure that has been passed down from one generation to the next. This gives Jesus' disciples both inspiration and humility when it comes to understanding the Christian life. On the one hand, Jesus invites us to be creative and adventuresome, to be salty and flavorful. On the other hand, Jesus also reminds us that we are to preserve what has already been given to us, the message of the gospel in Jesus. Recently, I was at home making dinner for the family, and I'm the cook at home, and I've always enjoyed it. I love putting together spices and trying to creatively make interesting meals. The kitchen is also a place where I like to think about things while I'm cooking. I inherited from my mother an attitude which is stay out of the kitchen when I'm cooking or else. Well, recently I had the radio on in the background. I was listening to an interview of the CEO of Microsoft, and it caught my attention. Satya Nadella is the company's leader, a man who was born in India, and an incredibly brilliant and motivated human being. He said something that got me to thinking. Now, I do not doubt at all that his comment that captured my attention is true for being a CEO of a massive computer company in the competitive technological industry. I am sure that his wisdom from running Microsoft is on the mark for that kind of work. But his comment that I'll share with you in just a minute does stand in sharp contrast to the kingdom wisdom that we find in this passage. Paul's epistle had the same upside down wisdom according to the ways of the world. We impart a wisdom that is not of this age, but rather a wisdom which God decreed before the ages. So let me share with you, not as a criticism, not trying to take down Satya Nadella, of course, but to put in contrast the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of heaven. Nadella described the wisdom necessary for doing this work by saying, life is all about reinventing yourself every single day. If not, you die. A stark statement. The wisdom of the gospel works in a different way. God has created us. We do not recreate ourselves every day. God precedes all of our creative efforts. So the Christian life is always a response to what has already been done by the one who has been at work long before us. thankfully, when we reflect upon this, it takes off a lot of pressure that's been building up in our modern world. Living by faith means that we are not completely self-made people, and we are not alone in the universe without meaning that we have to create all by ourselves. Rather, we learn more about ourselves through faith over years and over time, and remembering the faith that has been passed on to us from those who went before us. That is salt as the preservation of the truth over time. This has been recently reaffirmed in a wonderful and very surprising way. Tom Hanks is nominated for an Academy Award for portraying Mr. Rogers. Have you been paying attention to this? The movie about Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood has drawn quite a bit of attention because of the reaction of the audiences to the very basic message of Fred Rogers shared in the movie. Fred Rogers was a Presbyterian minister who took his message about God's love specifically shared to children. He took it to public television. And because it was on public television, it couldn't be done in an overtly explicit faith orientation. He had to make it very down to earth. And what's fascinating is that the crowds have been leaving the theaters in tears after the movie. A bunch of well-known pundits have written about this. Something so simple. A message so basic that preserved what is right and good about human beings created in the divine image. I think folks are responding with emotion because it's such a rich display of love, simplicity, and truth. In response to the movie, a good friend of ours posted a letter that she received from Fred Rogers almost two decades ago now. Our friend Kara, while she was pastoring two little rural churches in western Pennsylvania, wrote a letter to Fred Rogers in 1998 thanking him for his show. And here's the letter that Fred Rogers wrote back to our friend Kara. He writes, "Dear Reverend English, your beautiful letter meant a great deal to me. I'm deeply grateful for the warm and caring ways you wrote about what our neighborhood meant to you as a child and now as a Presbyterian minister. It was very touching to know that you heard God's grace and love in our neighborhood and that you felt our neighborhood was a part of the inspiration that called you to ministry. You might like to know that we have always believed that the children who benefit most from what we present are the ones who have already experienced a deep investment of love from their own families. I hope that you can appreciate all the strengths that you brought to our program from yourself and from your family that have helped you hear our positive messages and use them in such a healthy way in your own life. The people in your congregation are fortunate to have your caring ways, your thoughtfulness, and your genuine love as a part of their spiritual journeys. May God continue to richly bless you in your ministry. Sincerely, Fred Rogers." Life from Jesus' image of being salt of the earth. We're to be salty, flavorful, even spicy. And as salt, may God help us to preserve what is good and true. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next hymn is number 359, More Love to Thee, O Christ. Please be seated. As we turn to the pastoral prayer this morning, a few reminders specifically of folks to keep in prayer. We keep Judy Hooker in our prayers, who went to Carilion Hospital in Roanoke this past week. She has a kidney stone, a large kidney stone, and infection. She is being treated for that. They're getting the infection down so that they can do procedure to break up that kidney stone. She is at home now, but please keep Judy in your prayers. We continue to keep Kay Gillespie in our prayers, and also I would ask you to keep Heather's husband David Perryman in your prayers. His uncle, I hope I get his last name right, Ken Yuntz, David's uncle, passed away just a few days ago, so we keep David in our prayers. Let us pray. Gracious God, we remember Jesus teaching his first disciples on the mountain as they sought to understand your heavenly kingdom. They must have scratched their heads when he taught that the blessed were poor in spirit and that the meek would inherit the earth. We still sometimes scratch our heads today because we're so accustomed to the ways that the world works. It's so easy to think, well, that's just the way it is. But when we catch glimpses of your kingdom, we remember that there is a more excellent way. Faith, hope, and love remind us of what we were created to be as your children, so carefully fashioned in your own image. Help us, O God, to seek first your kingdom, even as there is always much to do, even as we face life's challenges. May the light of your kingdom break through into our lives, shining new light on the value of our everyday life and the deep meaning that comes through being your people. Help us to live as salt of the earth that preserves the purposes of your kingdom and adds flavor to the gift of life itself. There are many concerns and worries that we bring with us today, each of them important, and we entrust them to you so that we may be freed to live by your grace. Hear our own concerns for ourselves wherever we are on our life's journey at this moment. Hear our prayers for family and for friends. Hear our prayers for each person on our prayer list and those named today. Hear our prayers for neighbors and acquaintances. We ask that you would meet each person with what is most needed and provide for each one in your wisdom. Hear our prayers for this community, especially those who have had businesses hurt by the flooding. We ask that you would bless those seeking to serve and working to build up. Hear our prayers for our bickering nation and our anxious world. Help us to know that you are sovereign over heaven and earth. Let your Holy Spirit lead us into this new week in the ways of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of love and grace, we offer you these humble gifts as signs of your goodness and mercy in our lives. Receive them with our gratitude, that through your people all may know the riches of your love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is number 388, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to comfort you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.